The conference is now being recorded.
Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the Q2 FY24 earnings conference call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode. There will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Mayank Vaswani of CDR India. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Vaswani.
Thank you, Sagar. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us on the earnings call of Cera Sanitaryware Limited for the Q2 FY24 earnings, which were announced yesterday. We have with us today the management team comprising Mr. Ayush Bagla, Executive Director, and Mr. Vikas Kothari, CFO of Cera Sanitaryware. We will start with brief opening remarks from the management, following which we shall open the call for Q&A. A quick disclaimer before we begin, some of the statements made in today's call may be forward-looking in nature, and a detailed note in this regard is contained in the results documents that have been shared with all of you earlier. I would now turn the call over to Mr. Ayush Bagla for his opening remarks.
Good morning, everyone. The earnings for the quarter ended 30th September 2023 were adopted by the Board of Directors yesterday, 1st November 2023. The earnings documents have been released to the stock exchanges. Some of the objectives of the call, the company has made significant progress in for this financial year are, number one, enabling Cera to be further entrenched across consumer demand trends with varied product offerings. Number two, gaining market share and making deeper inroads into the B2C consumer consciousness. Number three, capitalizing on manufacturing efficiencies to realize product differentiation while delivering value to consumers. And number four, upgrade and refresh consumer perception of the brand. I am pleased to share that we continue to make substantial progress on these objectives. During the quarter, we witnessed steady demand for our products as the overall replacement and project demand remained positive. Cera's product and design emphasis allows it to focus on the B2C segment where it can truly monetize its brand promise. Over the last few years, all efforts have borne fruit to decouple Cera's revenue growth from fluctuations in interest rates and housing demand, thereby insulating it from real estate demand cyclicality. Despite a challenging backdrop characterized by persistent inflation and inclement climatic conditions across the country, as well as the high base of revenues and other financial parameters from last year, we reported double-digit growth in revenues. Q2 FY24 revenues were higher by 11.43% on a year-on-year basis. In view of our strategic objectives to gain market share, deepen the B2C presence, and deliver value to consumers, no price hikes have been undertaken since May 2022, a period of nearly 17 months. The leader guards the price. In view of adequate inventory levels in sanitaryware, we slightly reduced the pace of manufacturing this quarter. During the quarter, the sanitaryware plant capacity utilization was at 91%. The faucetware facility expansion program to take capacity from 3 lakh pieces to 4 lakh pieces per month was commissioned on 25th September 2023. In faucetware, the capacity utilization was at 122% during Q2 FY24 after considering added capacity of the brownfield expansion. With this expansion, which was completed within time and below cost, the faucetware needs of the company are secure for the next few years. The product mix planned is colored SKUs, quarter-turned SKUs, PVD SKUs and a few more SKUs that can be taken in from outsourced partners. This will enrich our product mix further. The gross margin decreased from 55.78 in Q2 FY23 to 52.72 in Q2 FY24. Historically, the gross margins have been between 48% and 52%, and the 55% last year was an outlier. EBITDA was higher by 13% as it increased from 77 crores to 87 crores. EBITDA margins increased from 18.11% in Q2 FY23 to 18.39% in Q2 FY24. Our stated objective was to increase annual EBITDA margins by 50 to 75 basis points each year. We have surpassed our stated objective as the increase in EBITDA margins FY23 has been more than 100 basis points despite advertising spends in the year increasing from 32 crores in FY22 to 57 crores in FY23. In Q2 FY23, China imports were 18 crores or 4.3% of sales. In Q2 FY24, China imports were 11 crores or 2.4% of sales. Sera was already one of the lowest users of products made in China, and with availability of manufacturing infrastructure in-house, the percentage of Chinese imports to sales has been continuously declining. In a business which is brand-driven, the fulcrum of success is manufacturing quality and plant efficiency and new product-led growth. With regard to capacity expansion for manufacturing sanitary ware, a fully aggregated land parcel in Gujarat, which has been historically owned by a single owner, has been in due diligence. We expect title documents for substantial part of the land parcel to be executed over the next 1 to 2 months. During Q2 FY24, no price hikes were undertaken. During 2021 and 2022, three rounds of price hikes were undertaken by Sera, which were all a demonstration of pricing power. As a strategy, the company focuses on multiple levers to drive profitability and does not rely solely on price hikes. At the same time, future price hike is a continuous evaluation. In sanitary ware, raw materials like China clay went up by 18% and feldspar by 4%, while plaster of Paris and glaze went up by 1% and 3% in Q2 FY24 as compared to Q2 FY23. Operating efficiency at the manufacturing level has gone up, as have the overall yields, which have negated a substantial portion of input cost increases. Zinc went down by 28%. In faucetware, brass prices went up by 2% and Zamak prices went down by 24% as compared to Q2 FY24. Due to the availability of gas from isolated wells near our plant, the price of gas from GAIL continues to remain below market and will remain so in the future. Average gas prices have gone up to rupees 29 per cubic meter versus rupees 26 per cubic meter in Q2 FY23. Normally, GAIL supplies 50% of Sera's gas needs. However, in Q2 FY24, GAIL provided 70% of the gas requirements of the sanitary ware business. Sabarmati gas, so pricing went down from 75 rupees per cubic meter in Q2 FY23 to 45 rupees per cubic meter in Q2 FY24, supplying 30% of the gas needs of the plant for Q2. The Q2 FY24 weighted average cost of gas was 33 rupees, much lower than industry. Gas costs constitute 1.51% of Sera's top line. A focus on ESG began in 1995 with the installation of a wind energy facility. Capacity was gradually added and a solar plant was also installed in 2014. During Q2 FY24, 94% of the energy needs of the two manufacturing facilities were met through in-house renewable energy sources. The retailer loyalty program that was launched by CERA in Q2 FY23, which has now completed 15 months, more than 16,500 retailers have uploaded 2.22 lakh invoices on the retailer loyalty app. The feedback received from retailers has helped us in understanding the consumer's changing demands, geographical segmentation of SKUs, and evolution of the rewards program to retailers. Besides standardizing invoices, in Q2 FY24, of the total retail sales of 251 crores, more than 96 crores of sales were eligible to receive the rewards through this program. These are 38% of retail sales. After the success of the retailer loyalty program, a similar program was launched for plumbers across India. CERA has been conducting training workshops for many years now, imparting installation and product knowledge to plumbers. A new program where rewards are provided to plumbers who recommend and facilitate the sale of CERA products is now active. New product introduction is one of the most important growth levers for CERA. During FY22, 72 new products were launched. The average number of products launched historically used to be 100 annually. During FY23, 699 new products were launched. With the sharp pickup in new design and product launches in the last 2 years, a considerable amount of resources have been deployed at the manufacturing level and at the level of customer experience. During Q2 FY24, substantial efforts have been made to ensure the product launches in the last 24 months penetrate deeper into the dealer network and in consumer buying decisions. This is very similar to the route adopted by most FMCG companies. Our highest ever advertising spends was in FY23 of 57 crores at 3% of sales. The budgeted publicity spends for FY24 is expected to be at 65 crores at similar percentage of sales. CERA's share of voice was lower than a share of market, and now with the increase in advertising expense, the share of voice is getting closer to its share of market. Publicity spends, which were 4 crores in Q2 FY23, were 15 crores in Q2 FY24, an increase of 375%. Population centers of 17 lakhs and above, which are tier 1 cities, constitute 33% of sales. Population centers of 3 lakhs to 17 lakhs, which are tier 2 cities, came up with 22% of sales, and centers with population centers below 3 lakhs, which are tier 3 cities, were at 45% of sales. We can now go over the financials. Revenue from operations in Q2 FY24 were 462 crores versus 414 crores in Q2 FY23, an increase of 11%. EBITDA excluding other income was 74 crores in Q2 FY24 versus 66 crores in Q2 FY23, an increase of 12%. The gross margin came in at 52.72% in Q2 FY24 against 55.78% in Q2 FY23. Profit after tax was 57 crores in Q2 FY24 versus 51 crores in Q2 FY23, an increase of 12% YOY. EPS for Q2 FY24 was 43.74 versus 38.99 in Q1 FY23. For Q2 FY24, 51% of the top line was from sanitaryware, 36% from faucetware, and tiles represented 11% and wellness 2%. On a YOY basis, sanitaryware revenues registered an increase of 4%, faucetware revenues increased by 16%, tiles increased by 34%, and wellness increased by 14%. The sanitaryware and faucetware verticals remain the bedrock of the business, with contribution of 87% to Cera's overall revenues. The classification of overall sales in Q2 FY24 was 43% in the premium category, 32% in the mid category, and 25% in the entry category. Inventory days in Q2 FY24 were 72 days compared to 81 days in Q2 FY23. Receivable days in Q2 FY24 were 29 days versus 26 days in Q2 FY23. Payable days in Q2 FY24 were 41 days against 36 days in Q2 FY23. Therefore, net working capital days in Q2 FY24 were 60 days versus 71 days in Q2 FY23. In this quarter, the availability of product ensured there was no element of lost sales. This is the 10th straight quarter with no element of lost sales. In the current year, the CapEx budget, other than the brownfield faucetware expansion and the proposed greenfield sanitaryware capacity expansion program, is at 35 crores, of which 7 crores was spent in Q2 FY24. As on 30th September 2023, our cash and cash equivalents stood at 751 crores against 573 crores as on 30th September 2022, an increase of 179 crores or a 33% increase. Positive cash flow for Q2 FY24 has been 57 crores as compared to Q2 FY23, which was 50 crores. In conclusion, I would like to say that due to the combination of internal factors such as production, throughput maximization, brand salience, and design differentiation, as well as the sustained macros of home improvement, Cera would be able to monetize all the growth drivers that present themselves. I would now request the moderator to open up the line for Q&A. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone phone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question is from the line of Sangam Iyer from Concilium Investments. Please go ahead.
Hi. My question is more to understand the on-ground demand that is there currently. Given the high inflation, given the situation with regards to food, etc., we have seen slowdown across the board globally for and even in India regarding consumption and inflation. What's the situation on the faucetware and sanitaryware side? Can you give us some flavor as in how the demand is on the ground on a YY basis? Can we see that going
Mr. Iyer, can you please use your handset while asking a question? There is a lot of background sound.
Okay, just a second.
Yes, please.
Am I audible now?
Yes, sir. Hello?
Yeah. Hello. So what I was trying to understand is the demand scenario currently for both faucetware and sanitaryware, given the the macroeconomic situations where inflation has gone up, your discretionary spend and consumer sentiments have gone down. So can help us understand how do you see the demand scenario over the next 12 months?
So thank you for the question, and it's a very important point that you have raised. Most important, the company and the sector has gotten used to the tailwinds of the last 24 months. And at Cera, we knew that the tailwinds and market being so buoyant are not a constant feature. So from our end, there were certain building blocks that were put into place. First of all, we made sure that we remained a B2C focused company. So demand does not fluctuate so much in the B2C end, and at the same time, pricing power can truly be exhibited at the B2C end. So the focus was not project orders, which were generally all available, continue to be very, very strong. We limit that to about one third of our P&L annually. That's the first thing. Second, new product introductions and new design. So new product introductions on features, functionality, and aesthetics. Those were the things that dealers were given a lot of training on, which they could explain to retailers and retailers to the end consumer. So the discussion was not only pricing, pricing, pricing. As far as demand is concerned, we don't see any headwinds. We see consumers who have been hit by inflation maybe postponing their decision. But again, the markets have come back again in October. The trends of October are very encouraging. There's been a dramatic increase in top line again in October. So I think this is just a question of seasonality. And though we have exhibited a 11-12% increase in top line, it's from a very high base. So this year's Q2 has been the best Q2 ever. Last year's Q2 was also the best Q2 up till that point in time. So we are dealing with a very high base effect, but the numbers on an absolute basis of 474 crores are an excellent number to have, with every engine of the company firing, manufacturing, sanitary ware, faucet ware, and then tiles. You know, there's been a dramatic shift in tiles, though the tiles industry has reduced some pricing power due to overcapacity. Cera's tiles have exhibited the reverse trend, and I'll give you some more data to give a, you know, add more color to that. 41% of our tile sales are now GVT. GVT is the highest end of tile. Only 3% of Cera's sales are soluble salt, which is the, you know, the commoditized tile. Then double charge tiles, which are the most expensive, you know, long slabs with the full bodied, sometimes half bodied, again, expensive tiles are 15% of sales, and wall tiles are 25% of sales. So the more expensive tile categories for Cera are increasing, but at the same time, we want to limit that business to 10-12% of our top line. Otherwise, the easiest way to buy growth were three engines to buy growth. Increase project exposure, increase tiles sales, which is easy for us to do because we don't have manufacturing capacity. We are a, you know, buyer and seller of tiles. It's very easy for us to do that. And three, increase credit to consumers. So we have not been tempted by any of these three engines for growth.
Right. As a follow-up, you know, given that we have expanded the capacity for faucet ware, can you help in, and in your commentary, you did mention that, you know, now with the expanded capacity, we take care of growth for the next 2-3 years. Can you just give a flavor in terms of what kind of growth are you embedding here for the, when you say it takes care for the next 2-3 years?
See, growth is available. When the company was at 1250, even there was a question of growth, then we hit 1440, then 1800. So till we reach 2900, growth will always be a challenge, and it will not be linear. So markets are not linear, and companies' growth and you know, top line increase is also not linear. So yes, capacity is now available both on sanitary ware and faucet ware. In faucet ware, the expansion program is complete, and the plant can be expanded further as and when required at minimal cost. So I would say for the next 3 to 6 years, faucet ware capacity is done and dusted. At the same time, for low-end faucet ware, our outsourced partners are very active, and there is no dearth of faucet ware capacity in the window ecosystem. As far as sanitary ware is concerned, we were operating at 115% capacity utilization. But once we hit a certain adequate inventory level, we decided to tone it down to 91% this quarter. So even in sanitary ware, though the new plant is still in the works, there is adequate capacity available currently. And sanitary ware, you know, the vendor ecosystem is not as well developed as the tiles or faucet ware vendor ecosystem. At the same time, we are taking in a lot of products in-house. We are moving the consumer to higher aesthetics, higher price points, changing the product mix. That is the aim. So capacity was never a constraint except during the brief period of COVID, let's say in 2020 and some part of 2021. Other than that, this is a 10th straight quarter of no capacity constraint.
Got it. And final question before I jump back to the queue is, in the 11% revenue growth, you know, given that premiumization has moved up to 41% overall in your revenue, how much was blended ASP improvement and how much was volume growth?
See, now volume growth is a secondary objective. You know, distant secondary objective versus product mix improvement. So now you'll ask me the next follow-up question on how we were able to do that. We held prices for 17 months. We absorbed all the raw material price increases, the labor cost increases, and overall inflation in the company just by improving the product mix. So ASP normally, because it's, you know, sensitive data that can impact our competitiveness in the marketplace, that is not disclosed to the market. But ASP continues to go up every year. The range of products that sell also change, and volume is not at all an objective currently.
Okay. Thank you. I'll jump back in the queue.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, in order to ensure that the management will be able to address the questions from all participants in the conference call, please limit your questions to two per participant. Should you have any follow-up questions, please rejoin the queue. The next question is from the line of Omkar Gugarde from Shri Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Am I clear?
Yes.
Good morning. My question was regarding, just now you mentioned that till the time you hit 2900 crore, the growth will be non-linear. I know the at 2900, 3000 crore, you will be hitting a certain size. But apart from that, what would be the change that you are stating that till that time the growth would be non-linear and after that it would be a linear?
So the best way to look at it is when it went up from, 1220 to 1440, we hit about 19 to 20% growth, which was an outlier that time. Then from 1440 to 1780, that was also a 25% growth, which was also an outlier. And this year, on a higher base, if the percentage is whatever 16-17%, in absolute terms, it will be a great number to have, because to reach 2880 by September 25. We have to do something around, 2500 by March 25, which is easily on track. But that journey will not be linear.
Okay, but after hitting a certain size, you will be gaining certain advantages, right? So can you articulate some of them? What can exactly change?
Yes.
Certain
size? So first, let me start with sanitary ware. We are the number one player in sanitary ware. We have pricing power. All other companies resort to price increases to up their revenues. We have not done that. We are the only company which has held the price for 17 months, forcing other companies also to relook at their pricing decisions for the last 17 months. So the market leader can do that. The second largest player cannot do that. And of course, those, further down the chain have to increase their discounts, do other things, and down trade sometimes also, because their pricing is now out of tune with the market. So that's our way of consolidating and staying ahead in sanitary ware. In faucet ware, we are the second largest player, but our incremental capacity is 1.5 times our current capacity. So we are capturing a larger share of the growth in the market. And faucet ware is where the opportunity lies, simply because the unorganized market is equal to the size of the organized market. And the overall faucet ware market industry size is double the sanitary ware market. So those are the two things in place. Again, if you look at our catalog, which is there on the website, and physical catalogs are available with the company, you'll see, you know, black mat, PVD, the kind of product introductions that have taken place, the quality parameters. You can compare them with any of the Western European or American brands, even in their geographies. And we are selling at a fraction of their price. So the headroom to take price up and for the brand to grow, keep changing its perception and move upwards in the consumer psyche is tremendous. You'll see our latest advertising reach. The positioning of the brand is completely different from what it was earlier. It is an aspirational, aesthetic brand appealing to a younger audience. So those are the building blocks that we have put in place.
Okay, thank you. Second question is on the faucetware sales. You mentioned that around 36%, so that is 170 crore approximate sales have come from faucetware. So after the capacity expansion, what kind of incremental sales are you looking at from that? At 100% capacity.
First of all, you know, unlike a typical fertilizer or cement business where capacity expansion is directly linked to top line, there were no capacity constraints in faucetware or sanitaryware for the last 10 quarters. So there was enough outsourcing capacity available. There was flexibility in the in-house infrastructure to keep on changing the mix of SKUs being made at the shop floor. So top line growth will be a large function of new product introductions and the retailer, dealer, and finally the consumer accepting these new products, new design at higher price points. So let me give you some numbers. Last year, faucetware was 611 crores, which grew at 28%. This quarter, faucetware was 164 crores, which grew at 16%. So even if you take 16% or 20% of 611, it will be closer to 750 crores for the year end. And the industry is growing at single digit, and we are growing at 20%. So that is exactly the phenomena that's most important. Who is capturing a higher share of the incremental growth in the market? Are we taking from the only player larger than us? Are we taking from those players behind us? That's the most important aspects of this business, rather than only capacity, because capacity is one of the ways to gain an advantage on cost and design, and of course quality. Then of course the sales and marketing team takes over, the brand perception takes over.
Okay, if I can squeeze in one more question.
Sorry, Mr. Umkar, yeah. Could you please return to the question queue?
Yeah, I will. I will.
Questions? As there are several participants waiting.
Sure, I will. I will.
Yeah. Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Sanjaya Satapati from Ampersand. Please go ahead.
So thanks a lot for the opportunity. So you mentioned that October has been much better, but at the same time, you keep referring to the high base restraining your growth capability. What are we saying? That is it like a 15% to 17% annual basis is your sustainable growth, and that is something which will pan out in second half as well?
I would say that the best way to look at it is a medium-term growth target of between 19% to 21%. Now, some year will be an outlier, like last year was 25%, this year might be 18%. So within that band of 19 to 25 is where we would ideally like to be, and some years will be an outlier. But at the same time, the driver of that growth will be new products and how the consumer accepts new designs. It will not be manufacturing capacity alone. Yes, lack of capacity can hurt growth, but having capacity doesn't mean that whatever you produce will be sold.
Understood. And so my next last question is that we are hearing about many new players coming in, including Astral and others. And you also are trying to get into, let's say, tiles and many other things. So net, in medium term, how do you perceive competition and what are new categories that you can really get into?
See, normally on a call like this, we don't talk about other companies. But, I mean, you have studied this sector more than me. You will know how the new players, pipes players and other tiles companies have been struggling in sanitary ware and faucet ware. The numbers that they have shared with the markets, they are very disappointing numbers. In fact, if you see our transcript from 4-5 quarters ago, I said that new players coming into the industry will be good for the industry. But that has not proven so, because these new players in their race to bulk up only approach project players and offer huge discounts. So that ruins their brand. In this kind of short-term thinking, the industry has not benefited, the consumer has not benefited. And let these companies show their seriousness by putting up a plant first. Because that is the first question that any consumer asks us, where is your plant? As far as Cera is concerned, we have no plans to get into any unrelated diversification. Even related diversification, if you want to call tiles that, is a fully outsourced trading business where we operate on zero inventory days, zero inventory on our books, and zero inventory kept in our warehouses. So our vendors dispatch directly to the market, and the market sells, and we don't conform to the typical credit guidelines of the tiles industry. So we have tried to keep our receivable days dramatically lower than the norms in the tiles industry. We don't sell soluble salt more than 3% of our overall tiles revenue. Then wall tiles, which also is more of a bulk item rather than a very specialty, very profitable item, is limited. Our focus is large slabs, GVT, and double charge full bodies. So we are in a very niche segment in tiles. We don't want to be a very large tiles player. We want to be a very profitable tiles player. Thereby, we limit our top line in tiles by remaining in a small part of the tiles industry. Other than that, sanitary ware and faucet ware are our only businesses.
Understood. Thank you a lot, sir.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Mithun Aswath from Kiva Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, please.
Hello. Yeah, my question was, you mentioned that your designs and products on the faucetware are world-class now. I just wanted to understand, and you mentioned that you sell it for a fraction of the price. Is there a potential outsourcing opportunity that you see there, using the know-how of Cera and exporting this in a large way? Is that an opportunity that you see?
Yes, there is a huge opportunity, and we do have an export business. We sell to almost 40 countries. But what we have not done is put up retail touch points in those geographies with our own warehouse on our own books and kept inventory in those markets, nor have we promoted the Cera brand in those markets. The way we have currently been selling is we have appointed agents and dealers in those markets who open letters of credits on Cera. Once we get fully paid, only then we export. So that's a very conservative way of exporting, but that's how we have started the business. As it bulks up, yes, there will be a need to keep inventory in those markets, keep our own sales staff, and then of course promote the brand aggressively in those markets. Yes, so the opportunity is very huge. There is a significant cost advantage that we will continue to have in those markets. Now the aim is to see how the brand does over there. But as far as outsourcing is concerned, on a white label basis, we have tried it a few times for one very, very high-end niche brand in North America. But that is not really our business. So that is from an R&D experiment, it proved to be very interesting because we learned that we could make SKUs which sell for a few thousand dollars. but at the same time it didn't it wasn't our business to manufacture for someone else.
Right. No, I'm just trying to understand. Obviously, you mentioned the unorganized market for faucets is large. So, you know, headroom for growth in India itself is very big. But do you have some aspiration to go beyond India as well once you cross that 3,000 crore revenue mark size and beyond? Is there some sort of target of a percentage of revenues coming from exports?
See, currently that number is between 1 and 2% of sales. And this will continue to increase even before we hit 3,000 crores in revenues. So yes, there is a plan, there is an opportunity waiting, both in faucetware and in sanitaryware. So it is now up to us how we take that forward. I'm sure over the next 2 years, you'll hear a lot of new announcements of new geographies being entered and this 1 to 2 number also going up. But we're not waiting for any milestone of 3,000 crores to happen before we take up this opportunity.
And the last question, your sanitaryware plant, when it will be operational?
See, the plant, the land acquisition will happen sometime in November and then the approval. So I would say that groundbreaking can happen anytime after March 24. So post groundbreaking about 18 months. But, you know, I mean, though we can talk about it and I'm happy to answer any question about the sanitaryware plant, that is not moving the needle. So as you heard, we reduced our capacity utilization from 115% to 91%. So there is adequate capacity available even in the current plant.
Got it.
So capacity constraint is not there in the foreseeable future.
Understood. But what is the reason then that you are looking for setting up this plant? This is going to be to take you to much higher levels in terms of revenue?
See, this plant is looking at the next 5, 10, 15 years. It's a matter of time where the industry size in sanitaryware changes dramatically.
Sure.
So the industry size currently is too small. It will change dramatically as the consumers start adopting a shorter lifespan for their products.
Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Akash from UTI Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hello. Am I audible?
Yes, sir.
Yes, you.
Yeah, sure. Hi, Ayush. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask, what is the sustainable growth rate that the company can deliver in sanitaryware segment? The reason behind asking you this question is actually we have seen about 6% growth in sanitaryware segment and it contributes to around 50%, 52% of the top line. So what is the growth rate that we can deliver in sanitaryware segment?
So Akash, you know this company better than anyone else. And you also know this industry better than anyone else. The sanitaryware industry historically has been growing at 6 to 9%. And Cera has been growing at, you know, 2.5 times that number. You'll have to look at the company over a period of time, over a number of quarters. And in isolation, one quarter growth number won't give you the correct picture or the complete picture. So sanitaryware will continue to grow for us anything between 12 to 17%. And this quarter it grew by 4.5%. Last year it grew by 27%. So if you equate this growth over any kind of period of 18 months, 24 months, that will give you a more, you know, informed picture. But yes, 12 to 15%, 17% is definitely possible. And we've achieved more than that over the last 36 months consistently. And we'll achieve it in the balance 2 quarters of this year. October numbers are very, very promising. And Q3, Q4 is historically the best 2 quarters for us every year. So you'll see us achieve the same numbers on a 12-month basis.
Sure, sir. Just two follow-ups. Sir, if you can share what is the growth rate in October month versus last year October month? And second is, sir, you said 27% growth in sanitary ware segment. I could not pick that. What was it that you were referring to?
Last year's growth numbers. So FY23 over FY22 was a growth of 27%.
In sanitary ware segment?
That's right.
Okay, understood. Sir, but that also included some element of price hikes, primarily
yes,
because...
which is a normal phenomenon every year for the last 40 years.
Okay.
How else will you look at revenues?
Right. Okay, sir. Understood. And sir, sorry, if you can share October month's growth rate.
See, that is not possible. That, Akash, you know better than me. That is not possible.
Sure. No problem, sir. Thank you. Thank you so much, sir. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Rishikesh Bhagat from Kotak Mutual Funds. Please go ahead.
Hi, morning. Thank you for the opportunity. My first question is, in the starting comment, you did spoke about the gross margin band. If you can repeat that, that will be helpful.
See, the I'll give you the gross margin numbers for the last many years. I have
band. You spoke about the band. It will be 48 to 55. I wanted that.
I have the gross margin numbers for every quarter from 2020 to now.
Yeah.
In 2020, the gross margin was between 42 to 49%. So FY21, between the four quarters, the variation was from 42 to 49. FY22, it was between 51 and 56. FY23, it was between 53 and 56. And FY24, the lowest is 53, the highest is 55.
So is this also a function of how your sanitary ware and faucet ware mix change if on incremental sales basis, I'm asking. Just want a color on that.
And with no price increases. So this is a unique year. Q1 and Q2 of this year is a unique year. Normally, every March and every October, there is a compulsory price increase.
True.
So this is a unique year where we've said that we will not increase prices, we'll gain market share, we'll establish our dominance in sanitary ware, we'll claw a lot of extra room in faucet ware, and at the same time, just by operational efficiencies and shop floor yield increases, we will try and keep our gross margin as close to the previous year as possible.
Ayush, the other question is fairly on the shorter time frame. Now, I do understand to the initial participant, you spoke about the medium-term guidance of moving between growing, aspiring to grow between 18 to 25% or 19 to 25%. Now, also in the start comment, you did mention that first half had the impact of high base, which I do appreciate that. But effectively, when I look at the second half of this fiscal, second half of FY23, we are looking at fairly much higher base effectively from the growth perspective. Then effectively, do you feel that the growth should moderate at least for FY24 and before we start kicking in the aspired growth from FY25 onwards?
No, in fact, the growth is accelerating.
Okay.
So because of the high base effect, the percentage might be decreasing.
I'm talking percentage only. Okay, absolutely. Yeah.
On an absolute number basis, the growth is very healthy.
Yeah, I meant upon percentage when I meant to discuss.
Percentage again, our requirement is a linear growth of 19% to get to our stated objective.
Okay.
Last year we got 27%.
Sure.
This year even if we get close to 17%, we are fine.
Sure. Got it. Thanks.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Namita Dige, who's an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Thank you for taking my question. I wanted to understand in the value chain, what is the kind of margins that dealers and retailers make from Cera product? And the second question is that there is a Pareto, which is that top 500 dealers contribute to 80% of the revenue. So when you look at this statement, how do you think about it? Is there any plan to make the sales more granular in terms of larger base of dealers accounting for growth in revenue? Thanks.
So top 100 dealers are 42% of sales. Top
right, and 500?
77% of sales.
Right.
So that is very important.
500 plus dealers.
These are the dealers who have made maximum investments in the brand. They have spent crores in working capital. They have spent crores in receivable financing. They have spent crores in putting up a very large infrastructure of showrooms, three-wheelers, four-wheelers, salespeople, developing clients. So they reap the benefits accordingly.
Okay. Okay, I mean, so then, then as a company, I wouldn't invest in getting more dealers, right? I will just like to make these 500 bigger and stronger to increase my growth.
That's right. But with one addition, suppose a large cement dealer approaches us or a large plywood dealer approaches us that I have these ready infrastructure of 30 salesmen, 10 three-wheelers, 5 four-wheelers and 11 showrooms. What can I do with you? Then we will present to him a fantastic opportunity of leveraging all that infrastructure into a new business of sanitary ware and faucet ware. Because he doesn't have to be taught that business, he knows exactly what it takes. So the new dealer acquisition of substantial size will be from adjacencies. And adjacencies could be as far away as cement and plywood.
Okay, understood. And sir, in the value chain, what is...
Can you please return to the question queue as there are...
No, just my first question is not answered, which is the margin for retailer and dealer. I already asked.
I'll give you that. So typically, the MRP is, let's say, 100 rupees, and the company transacts with a dealer above 70 rupees. And the dealer, in most cases, transacts with the retailer above 77, 78 rupees. Then the retailer keeps some margin for himself and shares some margin with the consumer.
Okay. Okay. So 70, 77 and then MRP is 100. Okay. Okay.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. The next question is from the line of Lokesh Maru from Nippon India Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thank you. So just one question on, we've been able to contain our fixed expenses like the other expenses and the employee costs. So just wanted to understand what goes into, you know, since the employee cost has just risen by maybe 5% or so many the appraisal cycle or number of employees has changed, or how does it work? How have we been able to manage this?
So, Lokesh, some of the voice was muffled, but what I understood was you're asking about R&D expense and how it gives us an edge in the marketplace. So I'll give you some color on that. R&D expense, we have a R&D department with senior personnel. It is recognized by the government of India as a center of excellence. Now, we have more than 20 people, and this R&D center is fully funded. They come up with new designs. They are new, you know, innovations as far as flushing systems and sanitary ware is concerned, rimless design, and the outside straight line aesthetics that are preferred by most consumers in sanitary ware currently. That provides us a huge edge in design and aesthetics in the marketplace. So R&D, yes. Though you might say that nothing dramatic has changed in sanitary ware manufacturing in the last many years, but yes, as far as prototyping is concerned, 3D printing, CAD/CAM designs, all those things have been implemented in the company for many years. As far as faucet ware is concerned, because you're dealing with a more robust raw material like a metal, there is, you know, machining and CNC work and robotics have completely taken over the entire manufacturing process. So yes, R&D spends and automation have dramatically helped quality upgradation for the products.
So on employee expenses, am I audible now?
Yes, please.
So on employee expenses and fixed costs, we have been able to manage and contain these costs very well for the first half and for the quarter. Like, for example, our employee expenses have gone up by just 5%, right? So wanted to understand how were we able to put a check on expenses which usually would rise of the order of 10-20%, right? So any color on that?
Yes, please. At the shop floor level, yields have gone up dramatically, which more than negate, which dramatically in fact beat the inflation of wages. So wages is a very large component of employee expenses, and the fixed portion is one component. The variable component is of course linked directly to output. So there, that is the variable component that doesn't worry us so much. The fixed component we have to beat each year with increase in yields and throughput in the factory and also changes in the mix. So that is why the company's thinking was completely reoriented, and price hikes is not the lever for growth, was the new way of thinking. And we have achieved that over the last 17 months.
Fantastic. Thank you, sir. That's all from my side.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we would take that as our last question. I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you everyone for attending this call and for showing interest in Cera Sanitaryware Limited. Cera remains positive that its strong positioning in the industry, overall economic growth would help it deliver steady and consistent growth going forward. Should you need any further clarification or would like to know more about the company, please feel free to reach out to me or CDR India. Thank you once again for taking time to join the call. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of Cera Sanitaryware Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.